Thank you, Father. Just lift your hands. Open your heart up to God this evening. He wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to us this evening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, open our ears, open our hearts, Lord. Open our spirits, Lord. Cause us to be ready to receive what you have to say to us through your word, through your spirit tonight, Lord. And Father, I just declare, Lord, over anyone here that has a problem with their ears this evening, Lord, I thank you that you sent your word to heal them. And I just pray, Lord, about, God just spoke to me while we worship about the hearing, the loop hearing, and how that both ears, he's linked them together. And I just declare healing power of Jesus in both ears tonight, Lord. If any are suffering here with problems with their ears, Lord, I command these ears to be unstopped, loosed, opened and healed. Father, right now, Jesus, right now, I just declare it in your name, Lord.
Amen.
Touch ears here tonight, Father, I pray. Perfect hearing, unstopped ears this evening. That loop of hearing, that's what God said to me, shall be healed in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Father, we come against any arthritic complaint tonight, Lord. We command arthritis.
Amen.
Go now in Jesus' name. From bones, from bodies, Lord, right now. In the name of Jesus. Just loose, Lord, I pray.
Amen.
Any infirmities in people's bodies here this evening, Lord.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We praise your name, Jesus. Just receive it. That's for you. Just receive it. Just thank God for it tonight. That's his gift. His gifts of healings for you this evening. Just take it. Just receive
Amen.
It. Don't wait to feel it. Just receive it. With the faith of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your great love that's here in this place tonight, Jesus. We just thank you. We bless you tonight, Jesus. We bless you tonight, Lord. You're worthy of praise, Lord. Worthy of glory, Jesus. We love you, Lord. I love you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Just take your seats. Praise God. We've had quite an eventful, I've certainly had an eventful week this week, being to a number of different places, including Reading. You may have heard some things are going on in Reading. But also, this morning we went into Crawley, where I pastor one of our congregations there. In Horsham, we have three congregations that make up the church, and we're kind of a multi-site church. So we have Horsham, and we have Crawley, and we have Worthing, and I've had the great joy of leading in Crawley and raising up leaders in Crawley with me and being to sort of hand things over to them. And it's exciting what God's doing. And we were, Leon, this is Leon here, and Merla, and they're in the Bible College, they're in their second year of Bible College. And we were talking to this, he wasn't an imam, he was the imam's assistant down at a very big mosque in Crawley this morning. It was just a real privilege just to go into that mosque, call him out of his prayer, bless him. We didn't curse him, we blessed him. Not because of what he believes, but actually we blessed him because God commands us or tells us to go and carry blessing to people that don't know Jesus. And he needs Jesus. And we just witnessed to him, shared the gospel with him. We got some way, but we need to pray some more for him. And we gave him a gift this morning and for everyone that goes to that mosque. And we have a vision that God's going to cause many of these Muslims to find Christ.
Amen.
You know that's why he sent them to our country? He didn't send them here to evangelize us. He sent them here to get them saved.
Amen.
And there is a turning taking place, and it's down to the church actually to rise up and begin to carry this glorious gospel that we have and begin to see God sovereignly touch these Muslims through the gospel, through its power, and through the preaching of his word. I just believe I see many Muslims come into Christ. I see a harvest of turning of many Muslims coming to faith all over this nation, don't you? That's why they're here, and a great harvest season is on its way. Well, God spoke to me very clearly when I began to pray, and God bless Jonathan and Helena for sending them here. And, you know, one of the things that he showed me, the first thing he showed me as I began to pray about a week ago was I saw this branch. And I said to the Lord, what is that branch? It was just a branch. It appeared that this branch looked like it appeared broken. And, but yet it budded. And then it broke into a blossom. And then it began to produce much fruit. Just this very insignificant branch that appeared to be broken, that began to bud, then it began to blossom, and then it began to actually produce much fruit. And this branch is talking about you in this place. And whatever, however God shapes you and takes you and whatever he wants to do with you. But I saw this branch beginning to blossom and bud and bear much fruit. And this branch has been rooted and is becoming a new trunk that will reproduce new fruit. Amen. After its kind. That's actually what God said. So I got really excited when I saw that. And then when I heard him speak about this your church here, then he gave me the scripture. If you'd like to turn there to Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Let's just go there, Zechariah 4, verse 6. And many of us will know this scripture. It's one of those ones that turns up quite regularly. It's a great scripture. It's a great truth. It says in Zechariah 4 and verse 6, it says, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible, but you'd know the end part of it where it says, not by might, or not by human might or energy, not by human power, but by my spirit. You know it, don't you? You know this one. By my spirit, says the Lord. And what it says in the Amplified Bible, it says, then he said to me, this edition of the bowl. I thought, I'm going to read back a bit, just get behind this and see what's behind it. And when you read about it in Zechariah chapter 4, you read about there being a lampstand, all of gold. You read about there being a bowl, and there's two olive trees, and there's a supply of oil that comes into this bowl. And it says in verse 6, and he said to me, this addition of the bowl to the candlestick, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees, is the word of the Lord to you. Well, that's just to Zerubbabel, but this is for you. It's the word of the Lord to you, saying, not by might, nor by power, not by human might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And I've learned something new just by praying and reading this word. I got excited today. I thought, well, that's amazing. So this scripture is connected with the candlestick represents the church. The bowl represents the prayers of the saints. Okay. And also represents the Holy Spirit coming down and actually feeding through to bring a supply. As he says in the Amplified Bible, a ceaseless supply is given to you. That's the ceaseless supply of the Holy Spirit given to you so that you can be the bright light. What does a candlestick do? What does it do? It lights. It shines. It produces light in the darkness. And that's basically why God's called you to be here. And wherever God places you in the coming weeks and months ahead, however he forms you, you're here to be a light. And so God's word to you tonight is, you're not a broken branch, but it appeared like this little branch that was there. God says, I'm going to use this branch. It's going to bud. It's going to blossom. It's going to bud. And it's going to produce much fruit. And then if you tie that into this scripture, I'm prophesying over you this evening. It says, not by human might or by human energy, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, I'm going to bring a ceaseless supply to you if you'll tap into that supply. And that supply is given to you not just to bless you, but it's actually given to you the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can be effective in our witness of who Jesus Christ is, so that we can declare him as Lord, we can demonstrate his Lord. Amen. Everywhere that we go from this body that we're a part of here. Amen? That's what he's called us to be. That's what he's called us to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, just pray tonight, Lord, that even these words, these very, very precious words in your word will minister to us this evening, that we take hold of the prophetic word and we take hold of the scriptures here that prophesy that there's a ceaseless supply to us. That as we receive afresh from you tonight, come on, let's just stand up. Can we just for a minute, let's just respond to God. He's speaking to us this evening. Just begin to pray out, pray in the spirit this evening. Just begin to declare your thanks to God. Just make yourself available to his ceaseless supply. The supply of the Holy Spirit is given to you, is given to me, is given to the church. The ceaseless supply of the oil of the Holy Spirit. Just thank him tonight. Just receive a fresh anointing of oil, fresh anointing. Hallelujah. Supply to the church here in this place. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for anointing, Lord. Thank you for the anointing oil, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that bowl of supply, Lord Jesus, that you give to this church, Lord, that you give to Jonathan and Helen and those in leadership and those a part of the body here, Lord, that you supply that oil so we can shine, Lord.
so that we can do what you've called us to do, Father. We praise you, Father God. We thank you. We surrender to you afresh tonight, Lord. Let your oil come afresh, Lord. Fill us up, Lord. Fill us up, Lord God. Fill us afresh, Lord. Jesus, to be carriers of your light, Lord. You've called us to be salt and light in London, in this place, Father, in this city, Lord. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him thanks. Let's give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Just take your seats. That's not the finish of it, by the way. Okay. Let's go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Luke 10. I had a great joy. Not so very long ago, we saw a couple who walked into, we meet in a school in Crawley, a big school, and so we're there just on Sundays. So we have the same joy that you do of coming up and setting up and all the things that go with it and systems and packing up and all of that. We have the joy of doing that every Sunday. And but it's good. God is good. And this couple walked in, and they walked in hungry because they were searching for God. And cut a long story short, we invited them to one of our groups, which is just for unsaved people. No Christians allowed, unless they love unsaved people. And we brought them into this environment in someone's home. And for about 5 weeks, they came and listened to people's testimonies. They listened to the word of God. We began to talk about who God was and who Jesus is and who the devil is and how he's lost and who the church is and eventually who they are and how God want, and then who God really wants them to be. It's called the Who Course. And at the end of the 5th week, this young man, he said to me, he said, I want to give my life to Jesus. What do I, how do I do it? What do I need to do? And it was a great privilege to let him pray his own prayer of repentance, of really turning, of asking Jesus to forgive him, recognizing that Jesus died on the cross for him. He had this incredible revelation of Jesus. I wait for that. I wait for that in people. I never push them in. Never push people in and just get them to repeat a prayer, but wait until they're ready. Make sure we've fed them the truth until the Spirit of God convicts them and shows them who Jesus is. And then what you'll hear is you'll hear them say, what must I do? What must I do to know Jesus? They don't know quite how to go about it, but you'll hear the question, what must I do? And that's basically what he did. And I saw him receive Christ, and he said that the revelation he got was that Jesus, he saw that, not that Jesus was a historical figure, died on a cross for everybody, but he died for him personally. And it began to melt him. And I remember he rang me the first week he got saved, and he said to me, he said, I've had to tell God to stop talking to me. Because on the way to work, he's talking to me as I'm driving my car, and it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming me as I drive. I feel like I'm going to crash. I feel like I'm almost drunk as I'm driving the car. So I've told him to stop talking to me while I drive to work. So he said, so it's become less when I'm driving, but he's still talking to me when I get out of the car. And he's had an incredible revelation of who God is, and he's into the Bible. He's reading the Word of God. And here we are. We're some ways down the line now, and he's one of our best disciples. He really is. And so when I'm in a Who group, he's there. Bang, he's right by my side there. He's hungry, not just to hear more, but to help people find Jesus too. That's the way it works. His wife is Chinese. She actually came from Hong Kong. And she was a little bit slower, but she also got saved, wonderfully saved. And it was just great just seeing them come along to this group and actually being to minister to unsaved people in this small group that we have for unsaved people. And as we begin to pray at the end of some of these gatherings that we have, hearing her prophesy over a few people, just bringing God's word, she just felt some things from God and speaks God's word into their lives. And people were actually saying, how do you know that? How do you get that? And just that speaking of God's word. It's exciting, isn't it? I get very excited about Jesus. And yesterday we were in Reading, and it was a great privilege to just go into one of the parks in the city centre and share the gospel with a man who happened to be homeless, and just share the love of Jesus with him and who Jesus is and what he's done, and just be able to pray for him and his hunger to know God. And it was exciting to the fact that I was the second person to witness to him about Jesus in the morning, and how that he began to open his heart up to Jesus. So we've left that ongoing work with some people in Reading, in a church in Reading. I'm sharing with you this evening, so I hope you're hungry about telling other people about Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. That's why basically why we're here. You know, Jesus, the reason he came was to seek and to save that which was lost. And that should be our first mission. That we are on mission here. So we're not just to have a great church, which God wants us to have, where we center around who he is and love him and worship him. But really that centering around him is always so that we can then go out and carry that gospel to people who don't know him. I don't know how many people are in the capital. You probably know better than I do. But there are millions of people in this capital of London who need Jesus. And God says to us that the harvest is plentiful. It's abundant. It's brimming over with people that need to be saved. And somehow God wants to transfer his heart into my heart and into your heart so that the passion that he actually has for people would be transferred into our own hearts. Do you agree?
Yep.
And I often feel very, very poor when it comes to, if you compare your own heart, my heart, with God's heart, I feel kind of poor. I'm in poverty. I need to come back to him. I need his spirit to, that ceaseless supply of the spirit to come upon me. So as I draw from his Holy Spirit, as I begin to pray for people that don't know Jesus, he'll begin to touch my heart, touch your heart, touch our hearts. So we'll begin to go out with a new passion to see people being born again and radically saved. I mean, radically saved. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, are you all there? It says in verse 1, let's read verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city. Just say every city.
Every city.
And just say every place.
Every place.
Where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is... What is it? Great or plentiful. The harvest truly is great, but the labourers are few. Let me ask you, what do you think a labourer is? An evangelist? Could be. A worker? Any other names that we could use about harvesting? Yield? What about the people? What can we call a person that goes out to... Yeah, and what's the... A reaper? Now let me just tell you this evening that all of you in this room here this evening are called to be reapers. Reapers of the harvest. So when Jesus talks about labourers, don't just think, oh well that's they're labourers. But put yourself in the picture. God has called you to be a reaper. Just say reaper.
Reaper.
See, it's not just for the evangelists of us that love to go out and share the gospel. We're here to actually to inspire and encourage other people to. We're here to train and equip others to do it. But actually, we're all called to be reapers. We're all called to be labourers in the harvest field, wherever that your harvest field is. And we're called to reap a harvest. So God is calling us tonight to be reapers. Do you agree?
Yep.
In the harvest field. And I want you to begin to catch a vision. I don't know. I only know a few of you here this evening. But what I do know is that God has called us to reap a harvest. And God wants to anoint us in a fresh way this evening, that we're going to begin to see people being saved. People that you and I have actually had the privilege of pointing them to Jesus. That's what being a witness is all about. People who we've had the privilege of praying for, perhaps to see them get healed. Maybe to bring a word of knowledge or one of those gifts, wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit. But to bring something to them that alerts them to the fact that Jesus Christ is alive today. And part of our prayer this evening is we're going to pray for, we'd love to pray for any of that would like to be prayed for before I finish my part this evening. But it's to really release this truth that God has called you to be a labourer, a reaper in the harvest field. So it doesn't matter what's happened in the past, just ditch what's happened in the past if it's been quite difficult. But thank God for the good things that he's done. But all I know is that God's going to do a whole lot more than we can ask or even imagine. That's what he's got. That's what's laid out ahead of us.
Amen.
God wants to do far more than we can even ask or imagine in terms of people being saved. That's his plan. That's his vision. That's his dream. That's what he wants to do. And so he's calling us to say yes to him. Yes, Lord, cause me to be part of the answer here. I've been called to be a reaper in the harvest. So he said, the harvest truly is great. The labourers are few. Therefore, what does it say there? What does it tell us to do? Pray that the Lord of the harvest, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers or reapers into his harvest. Did you get that? So the Lord says to us, pray that God will send out reapers.
And you can't pray that unless you first of all put yourself on the altar and say, God, use me, send me, here I am. So you're part of the answer, but God needs workers. He wants whole churches that are mobilized to go out with the gospel. And I just ask you this question, where's your harvest? Where is your harvest? You don't have to answer me. But where is your harvest as a personally? Because we no doubt we go to different places around the city, maybe beyond that. But where is your harvest? Where is it? And which part of the field are you working in? So we need to be clear about our harvest. Begin to pray, God, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me, use me in the harvest field that you put me in, my workplace, my neighbours. People that I live above or live below or live around in the community where I am. God, send me, use me, God. I have a faith expectation. I've been called to be a reaper of the harvest. Amen. Labourers in his harvest field. The harvest is plentiful. And who am I supposed to go to? Those are people. You'll know some of them, but you won't know all of them. So today we met a man called, I've forgotten his name, Kibba. And he's from Gambia, I think, in Africa. So he's on the hit list of prayer now. So we're going to pray for him and that he will be saved. So we need to pray that we'll go out into the harvest field. But who where is your harvest? Who is your harvest? And begin to set yourself real targets in God to reach the people around you. Perhaps you're already doing that. Bless you if you are. But God wants to strengthen our witness. He wants to anoint us in a fresh way this evening, that we're going to begin to hunger and thirst for souls, so much so that we can't help ourselves, that we begin to cry for people to be saved, saved from hell, saved from saved from eternal judgment, saved from fire, saved from a separation from God for eternity. That's the magnitude of it. And Jesus already paid the price for them, if we'll go and tell them and lead them through to being saved. You know, this morning, I got up quite early, and on Friday mornings in Crawley we have early morning prayer. And as I'm the pastor, I need to be there. I need to be the first there. So we meet for prayer, and we pray for the church, not just Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley, but we pray about the church in Crawley, made up of lots of different flocks and congregations. And we pray about the nation regularly. Those are kind of the main things that we pray. Pray about the church, Kingdom Faith. Pray about the church in Crawley. We pray about the nation. And I got there this morning. I didn't know what the result was from last night's referendum, but I've been praying a lot about that. I'm sure you have as well. And maybe if we did a little vote this evening, we'd find that we've voted slightly different ways. You know, one of two ways, hopefully. But you know, this morning when I heard the news, I really rejoiced. And I rejoiced. That's my take on it anyway. And I, as we continue to really pray for the government, David Cameron, I didn't realise that at that point that he's planning to step down and everything else. But begin to lift up those in authority over us. Begin to declare Jesus your Lord over our nation, like, you know, Nathan's praying your Lord over this city. Begin to pray that he's Lord over this nation. And I just saw, while I was praying, I saw this book. It looked like a Bible. It wasn't a Bible, it was a book. And this book was a history book that God was writing. I saw him turn a page. This is what happened today. I saw him turn a page. And it was a clean white page. And on this page, I just saw him writing. I saw it very, very clearly in bold capital letters. And it said, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And I believe that this referendum has gone this way because of one reason only. It's not to do with finances. It's not to do with government policies. It's to do with the kingdom of God. You'll test this in a few years' time, and you'll see the reasons why it's gone this way today. But we need to really seriously, you need to really pray for our nation. God has positioned us at such a point now that there's a reason we're an island. There's a reason we are the way that we are. And the Holy Spirit wants to raise the whole church up in our nation and begin to trumpet the gospel all over this nation. It's the time for the church to arise. Do you agree?
Yep. Amen.
You know, Isaiah 60, which we know very well, arise, shine, for your light has come, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, will become in these days a reality for loads of churches that really seek after him and really worship and pray and live for his glory and want to carry that light out into the nation. I believe that we're going to see tremendous things happen in these next few years. It won't be without some conflicts, but I tell you, God's going to pour his spirit out all over the place. Many of those places won't be inside church.
In fact, I believe, I prophesy that most will be outside of the church. It will be the church going out. That's where the Spirit of God is going to be poured out, particularly. Amen. That's where He's going to pour His Spirit out. So get hungry for the gospel. Get hungry for Jesus and then carry that gospel out, because that's where He's going to pour His Spirit out. And He's going to surprise us over these next few years. The numbers of people that are going to be saved, they won't be the people that you would particularly want to go and talk to. They won't necessarily be the particular type of people or people group that you would normally go to. But I believe we're going to see significant things happen, not just with the English people, that some of us are, but with all different cultures and types. God's going to start moving. And we're going to actually find it quite difficult to keep up with Him. But the Holy Spirit's going to carry us in this time. And that's why it's important that we begin to get this hunger. There's a harvest field. There's a harvest field. And you'll understand in a better way that God has called this nation to be a servant nation to the kingdom of God. It's called the church to be a servant church for the purpose of the kingdom. And there's a responsibility that God has given to this nation years and years and years ago, actually to actually be a blessing, not to this nation, but to Europe particularly, and to other nations. And He's going to restore some things and going to take us further than we've ever been before. I really believe that. I believe that's why we're living today. It's to see the gospel being proclaimed very, very powerfully all over our nation. So just jump back to Luke 10. Let's just go back to Luke 10. It's all linked together here. Luke chapter 10. So where is your harvest? And who is your harvest? Be clear about what your harvest is, who your harvest is. And begin to pray, God, send me, use me, put me out there, Lord. Begin to use me to reach people for you, Jesus. And in your weakness, God will provide strength to you. Over these years, I've seen the numbers of people being saved, and it's always very exciting, but I haven't seen the best yet. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Just say that with me, will you? The best is yet to come. Just declare that over your own life. The best is yet to come. Just declare it over this church, Kingdom of Faith London. The best is yet to come. It's very important that we speak God's word. You hear that, no doubt, here a lot. And we pray God's word. And the best is yet to come. You know, I want to just bring four. These are principles. We're going to read about them tonight. We're going to read about them. And I pray that as we pray together in a minute, that these principles will begin to be outworked in our lives. That Jesus actually brings out when He sends 72 of His disciples out ahead of Him into different places, preparing for Him to come. And these four words I'm going to use or describe what they are in a minute. But let's just carry on reading in these scriptures. So Luke chapter 10, we just read about the harvest being plentiful, but the laborers are few, the reapers are few. So God, send out your laborers, send out your reapers into the harvest field, that they might be brought into the kingdom. And then Jesus says these words to these disciples. He says, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, or sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. In the truth version, I think it says, let the blessing of peace be upon this house. And as we go out with the gospel, the first principle we need to remember is God has called us to be a blessing. I look at some people, the way they witness in the street, some of these evangelists, and no wonder people turn the other way. Because they basically, they may be preaching the gospel, but they're not preaching in a way that's a blessing. And it doesn't actually draw them to Jesus either. And what we need to understand is that we need to preach the whole gospel, of course we do. But we need to understand that the good news, which is why it's called the good news, is a blessing. It becomes a blessing when people turn to Christ. And so our responsibility is that the first thing we need to do, and just bring this down into your own world, into your own sphere, you've been called to be a blessing. You've been called to be a carrier of the blessing of the gospel wherever you do you agree with me? That means that in your workplace, in your home, with your family, with your friends, even with your enemies, with the community that you're in, wherever you go, you're carrying blessing. And you're supposed to give that blessing away to others. So we need to look out constantly. How can I bless this man that I've just met? Mm. How can I bless this imam I've just met in the mosque? How can I bless this lady or this homeless person? How can I be a blessing to them and begin to bless them? I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But you know, wherever Jesus went, he carried blessing. When he walked in the room, he brought the peace of heaven. He brought the peace of God into the room.
The first thing he would say, which he did to his disciples when he walked in the room, peace to you. Was that just a word? No. He actually ministered peace. Peace to you tonight. Shalom. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Completeness. Healing peace. That's what Jesus was carrying. And so when he came to a place, whether the person was a believer, as we would understand, a disciple or not, he brought the blessing of the kingdom into their lives so that they could begin to respond to that blessing, that peace. You've been called to do the same thing. The first thing we do is when we meet people and our lives touch them is to bring a blessing, the blessing of God. That's why we didn't curse the man this morning. This Muslim man, it was a cleric, and you know, he's connected his assistant to the imam. But we spoke a blessing over him. We declared blessing over him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And if you go on, read down a bit further, it says in verse 7, and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labourer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you. Jesus spent a lot of time building friendships with people. We should be the same way.
Yeah.
Relationships. So the first principle is, when we go with the gospel, which we do every day, is as a church, both individually and corporately, we're to be a people of great blessing. Every day that we live, every person that we meet, we're to be a blessing to them. We're to carry the blessing of God. Not everyone will receive the blessing. Some will even reject it. But we're to be carriers of God's blessing. Amen. We're to bring God's peace and blessing to people. And it's the blessing of the good news of who Jesus is and what he's done on that cross. And the second thing is that we build friendship, relationship. Now, you know this, but I want to encourage you this tonight, that if you apply these four principles as we pray in a minute, that God, the Holy Spirit, is going to anoint us afresh this evening so that we'll actually see, these are the four things that need to be in my life to win people to Jesus. So we're carriers of blessing, carriers of peace into people's lives. And then we build relationship, friendship with people. That's what Jesus did. That's why he invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. He saw him up a tree. He called him by name. Zacchaeus was shocked. Called him down out of the tree. And then Jesus had the cheek then, and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hey, Zac, I'm coming to your house for tea. Put the kettle on. I'm coming to your house to eat with you. And so basically, he went and built friendship with Zacchaeus. And as a result of that friendship, he demonstrated the love and the blessing of the kingdom to this man's life. Zacchaeus didn't reject him. He didn't feel judged. He felt totally accepted. But then he felt convicted as well, out of friendship. So we need to invest more time in friendship, food, I like the sound of that, fun, drinking with people, not getting drunk, okay, but drinking, eating and drinking with people, building friendship with people, building relationships with people. That carries the blessing of the peace into their lives, builds a bridge. And then the third thing is, what did it say? In verse, I think it's verse 9, it says, heal the sick. Heal the sick there. Heal the sick there. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So the first one is, we're carriers of God's peace. We're carriers of God's blessing. Let it be a real thing that we carry into people's lives through the way that we are. We're carriers of his presence. We bless people in the things that we say, the things that we do. We build relationship with people. We begin to pray for them, but we build relationship wherever we can. Friendship, food. Build something that's lasting. And then meet their felt need. Meet their real need. So the third thing is meet their need. Meet their need. So if we meet someone who's sick, what are we going to do? Are we just going to preach at them? Are we going to heal them? In Jesus' name. So we bring God's peace and blessing. We relate, we bring relationship to them, we love them. And then we see what their real need is, and we seek to minister, not in our own strength, but from that oil that we spoke about, that ceaseless supply that is there, and we can declare God's healing, or whatever it is that they need. It may be they've got no food. I'll just tell you a story. The other evening, just last week, I got this call in the evening from a desperate family, an Asian family, never met them before. And I called one of the ladies in the church, I know has got a real heart for the lost, and said, come on, we're going to visit this family. They're in desperate need. Bring some food with you. I didn't know what their needs were, except I knew that one of them was sick, but I sensed that there were more than just one need. And so we went into this home, this Asian family, went into this home and discovered that the lady is born again, she loves Jesus, but she's totally overwhelmed by the need in her house.
So as we walked into the house, we brought the blessing of God. I actually felt like when we walked in, I felt, oh, this is great. Jesus just walked into the house. I felt this confidence that somehow God's going to meet their needs this evening. Something, God's going to kickstart something here. They've been completely overwhelmed by sickness, infirmity, distress, sadness, all kinds of things that have kicked off. And it's just like the enemy is really ravaging and being destructive in their family, in their life. And so we walk in and we bring the blessing of God. And it was radiating from us. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. We radiate the presence of God. And then we began to speak God's word to them. We began to pray for them. So we brought blessing, peace, friendship. We didn't have time to eat that evening. But the whole principle of building friendship, loving people, relating to people in their need, and then recognizing what their need was. So we start to begin to pray healing power over all three members of this house. God begins to move. God begins to touch them. They begin to experience the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. And Jesus was very, very present. And then there were some very practical things. We had to listen to God. We prayed some more about God. What do they need to do? How can we help them? What do they need to? What are their next steps? They're completely overwhelmed. And so we began to help them with their next steps, meeting their need. Do you get it? Meeting their need. And then we said to them, basically, it says there, the fourth thing is the kingdom of God has come near to you. The kingdom of God. So the gospel is God's kingdom. So we bless, we bring peace, we build friendship, we relate to them, we love them. We meet their felt need, and then we say, then we're well able now to present the gospel, because we've just done the gospel. Now we can begin to put words to what we've just done. Now, I'm not saying you've got to do it in that order, but I'm trying to help you to understand, as God has helped me to understand, there's four things that make up our witness. And if you apply these four things, have them become part of the way that you live, I tell you, people, Jesus is irresistible. Jesus is irresistible. Amen. When he's living in our lives in this way, he becomes, actually, people are drawn, not so much, not to us, but to Jesus in us. Mm. They are. They're supposed to be. That's how God meant it to be. And we begin to meet their needs, and we can say, the kingdom of God has come. This is Jesus at work. You know, this lady hadn't slept, I'm not sure how long, but it sounded like at least for a couple of years, hadn't slept, probably had a proper night's sleep for a long, long period of time. And after we'd prayed for her and prayed about a number of things in her body, and stuff that was going on in her mind as well, she rang me the next day. She said, Pastor Paul, she said, I had the most amazing sleep last night. I can't remember the last time I slept how I did last night. I slept from the moment my head hit the pillow to the morning. He said, I can't remember when I last slept like that. I said, that's the kingdom of God come to you. That's the presence of Jesus. And he'll actually see you all through. He'll actually make everything right. You just need to follow him very, very close. Keep your lives in tune with him. So this Sunday, I'm hoping, I'm believing, because they want to get this. She said, I didn't tell her to. She said, we want to come to your church. Well, not my church, Jesus' church, but we want to come along to the church. So we're arranging to pick them up this Sunday. Isn't that exciting? So if you apply these principles of sharing the gospel, bless, friendship, meet needs, meet the need, whatever that is, the kingdom of God has come near. And then we can begin to take them into steps of receiving Christ into their lives. Amen?
Amen.
Exciting. Let's go to Matthew 16, and then we're going to pray. Matthew 16. I just want to finish with this because I felt God say to me to just remind you. These are scriptures that you'll know, of course, Kingdom Faith. Of course you will. But I just want to remind you that God has given us tremendous authority. He's given us the keys of the kingdom, hasn't he? And if we use these keys of the kingdom of heaven in prayer and in speaking to people and in doing the things God's called us to do, God will cause the enemy's things to be shut down and the kingdom of God to be opened and released. That's what he wants to do. I'm just going to read just this one verse, verse 19, out of the Amplified Bible. You know, when Peter had that revelation, you are the Christ. You are the Christ, the great rock. And Jesus said to him, and you are a little rock. You're a chip off the big rock. Little rock, Peter. And I will build my church. There's a great reminder there. Jonathan and Helena are coming here to pastor and to lead the church here. They don't have to sweat over it, and I'm sure they're not. Is because Jesus said, I will build my church. So Jesus is the one that needs to build the church. We need to to make sure that we're partnering with him in what he does. And if we apply these principles that I've spoke to you about, if that's your one focus, God, we're here for one reason, and that's to fulfill your mission of reaching people using these four principles, I guarantee you'll have a harvest. And if you don't, you can come and sue me. I guarantee you'll have a great harvest. Why? Because if we put God's word to work, it'll work. It will produce after its kind. And God says this is what you must do. But listen, make sure you use the keys of the kingdom. One of the reasons we don't see the kind of answers to prayer and we don't see the things that God wants to give to us is because we don't use the keys he's given to us. So keys are there to be used. I don't know about you, my wife's always telling me, you know, if I lose my keys, you know what my wife says to me? Over to you, she says. You need to find your keys then. I'm looking for a bit of sympathy, but she's got tired of me losing my keys. And actually what it's done is it's helped to sharpen me up so I don't lose my keys any longer. Instead of saying, do you know what I did with those keys? And we need to be the same way about the kingdom of God. God has given us the keys of the kingdom, but sometimes we don't pick them up the way we should do. It says here in verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you, what does it say? Bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, has already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, declare lawful, having already been loosed in heaven, is already loosed in heaven. Do you get that? So God's got it all there. It's called a key. Keys of the kingdom of heaven. Things to shut down the enemy's work. They've already been shut down in heaven, but that's not the issue. The issue is what's going to happen on the earth. That's our praying. That's our speaking of God's word. That's our declaring the truth of God's word, taking authority over the principalities and powers, taking authority over strongholds sometimes in our own lives and in other people's lives. And then loosing and opening the things of God and begin to declare the gospel of Jesus, loosing those things that have already been loosed in heaven. You know, a little while ago, God gave me a picture, and in this picture, I saw heaven, and it was like a great big warehouse full of goods, enormous goods that were part of God's kingdom, but they were there to be shipped down to earth. And I said to the Lord, how come there's so much there? He said, because my people aren't using the keys. They're waiting. They've already been consigned for shipment down to earth. But my people aren't actually believing. My people aren't using the keys, the authority I've given to them. And therefore, this shipment isn't coming down. That's why you're not seeing a release in your town. Is the church isn't rising up and taking the authority over the powers of darkness and begin to loose the gospel of power into the town. And so God wants to mobilize us. Amen. To get those keys of the kingdom of heaven in our hands. Hallelujah. I'm very excited about what God's going to do for you. I really am. I'm so glad that Pastor Jonathan Helen invited me to come because it got me to really seek God a little bit more about what he's doing here. Began to see some things. I tell you, God's going to reshape and reform you. But what he has in store is good. What he has in store for you is very, very good. He's going to bring you together in a new way. He's going to reform what he's got here and it's going to begin to grow and produce fruit after its kind. Just be faithful. Be faithful in your own life. Be faithful together. And God will do it. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand, shall we? And can we have the band up? I just want to... Is that all right, Nathan?
Yeah.
I just wanted to pray this evening. We're going to worship just for a couple of minutes. And if I'm just going to ask you to respond to the Lord. And don't respond to me, but respond to the Holy Spirit. If you know that he's spoken to you this evening, I just want to lay hands on you this evening. I just want you to receive from the Holy Spirit tonight. Let his anointing begin to flow upon you afresh this evening. For the proclamation of the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
There's an anointing. It's called a reaping anointing. It's an anointing to win souls, to win people to Jesus by putting his word first. Hallelujah. So just, I don't know where people go when they come forward. Is that all right? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Just expect to receive the same as we pray. Let the Holy Spirit begin to move tonight. He wants to touch us. Don't wait for a feeling as I pray this evening, but let the Holy Spirit come. He's going to give some of you a fresh passion, perhaps where it's gone a bit cold. He's going to give you fire tonight. You're going to begin to feel the things that God feels about people.
in a new way. Even a whole city or town, God's going to start putting those kind of things on our hearts. We're going to begin to weep and cry, not in the wrong way, but in the right way. I'm going to feel the sadness of God for people, the love that God has for people, the compassion and the faith that He has for people. Hallelujah. Let's just respond, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship Him.